Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 97 of Slamfire Radio for February 27th. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew the Warning Shot McClatchy.
I'm another one of your hosts, Trevor the Furlatte. Furlatte the Ron Burgundy. I don't know who I am anymore.
And I'm the third wheel, Owen.
Hello, Owen.
He who is last will become first or something.
I think that might be misquoted, but
okay, maybe a little, do that.
No, it has everything to do with podcasts.
Oh, it does.
I'm sure
okay.
of it. All well, right. Seeing as you did go last in the intro, Owen, why don't you go first? See, I'm making it work in what we did with guns this week.
Well, I did something this week actually, not nearly as impressive as your long list, but.
So I can't call you Mike Dixon this week?
Not anymore.
That's right.
I can still call Matthew Richard, though.
You certainly can.
I went to the range with my Norinco M305.
How'd that go?
Pretty good. I put, I don't know, maybe 100 rounds through it.
Nice.
Thereabouts.
Any hand loads or all factory?
No, just all factory.
That was an expensive day at the range, then.
Yep. Yep. I had a few boxes of stuff that I knew the gun didn't like. So I said, well, I might as well go burn through that and get the brass. And it wasn't sighted in last time I shot it. It seemed to be way off. And so I said, well, I got to go and get this. I don't like having guns that I, know aren't close, at least.
I'm the same way. I need my, they have to at least be bore sighted, at least. But I still like to have them on paper and like where I'm hitting.
I'm not the only one. I got two rifles in there with like new optics on that aren't sighted in yet, and it's
driving
like, oh,
you nuts.
They might as well be broken. They're no good to me.
You might as well come over this March break, Trev. Bring them with you. We'll sight them in.
Oh, I so can too.
It's supposed to be beautiful out.
But I looked at. Every time I looked at this rifle, I was like, oh, I love this. And I get up and handle it, and point it out the window and look through the sight, and then scope, and then realize. If I had to actually shoot something with this, I probably wouldn't be anywhere as close. Yeah.
So the crosshair is on the coyote, but I just killed the chicken.
Yeah, exactly. So I took a shot. I got to at least get this in somewhere close. So I went to the range, took the time, just barely made it into the range. They had plowed it, but the wind had drifted it all in between the great big high snowbanks.
Right, yep.
So fortunately, with a four-wheel drive, I got most of the way in and then was going down the hill and could feel the truck bogging as I was going down the hill.
Oh, that's never good because you got to go back up it.
And knew that this was not going to be good. Anyway, so I got in and I set up and I did most of my shooting from 50 yards just because I had planned on shooting the Squirrels Rifleman Challenge.
Right.
But initially, anyway, I set up a bunch of targets and I shot and it was, I made just a couple slight adjustments, but it was pretty close. So I don't know what happened the last time I shot it, why it was so far off, but it was basically bang on this time.
Well, that's good.
Anyway, I had nothing to worry about after all. Let me see what else. I like I say, I put about 100 rounds through. I shot a couple really nice groups earlier on. I tried some new ammo. Just tried the Winchester PowerPoint 150 grain,
mm-hmm.
which is fairly inexpensive ammo. Compared to some of the other stuff I was shooting, but the gun really likes it. So I'm going to have to track down some more of that and buy some more of that, I think, for now.
Yeah, it's nice to find a nice load that the gun likes.
Yeah, because like I say, I shot a 1-inch group with it without even really trying.
Right.
And then I noticed my group started to open up, and I thought, well, maybe it's just me. But I thought, well, I've been shooting a fair bit. The gun barrel is getting pretty warm. That's going to open up my groups a little bit. And then I noticed, and so then I said, well, I'm still going to continue on. I shot the Squirrels Challenge for this month. to finally I'm going to get it, but I'm going to shoot it with 308 instead of all these, you know, wimps who shoot it with their 22.
Oh,
and
I'm going to bleep that just so people think you swore.
He did swear. That's offensive.
That is offensive. I represent that remark.
I resemble that remark.
That's the word I was looking for. I knew it started with an L.
It's all right.
So I shot prone in the snow, minus 20.
With a 308, no less. What a man.
I tell you.
Does your beard have its own beard?
I'm pretty sure.
That's how manly you are right now.
My chest hair grew 3 inches, I'm pretty sure.
Nice.
All four of them.
Yeah.
And your hair must grow like in a plaid pattern and everything.
Yeah, I start talking with a Scottish accent or something.
Right.
Anyway, so I did that, but I would get like 3 rounds would be pretty good group, and then 2 would just be kind of random, not totally random, but a couple inches off, you know, bad enough.
Right.
I was like, man, what is going on? And so I shot them all, trying to do my very best, and then got up and got looking the gun over as I was getting ready to shoot a little bit more, and realized that the cap, this is a little more better, a little better than that. The cap that goes on the gas tube on the end was loose.
Does that affect accuracy?
I think it would.
All right then. Well, maybe there's your problem.
I could be wrong. Maybe it wouldn't, but it
wasn't. I don't know enough about that gun to make an educated guess.
I think it would. It would give you a little more random pressures if you had gas leaking out when you fired, but.
Possibly.
I could be wrong. Maybe it was just me.
Well, tighten it down, go back and try it again. That's basically what you're going to do.
But when I noticed it, I would have tightened it down and shot the challenge again, but I didn't have any more targets. So I did get one that had a real beautiful, probably 3/4 inch, three shot group in the middle of the squirrel's head. There isn't much of the squirrel left.
Right.
308. But then there's 2 shots that are, 2 inches off that. So, anyway.
Oh, at least you got out and shot it. Stacey will be happy to hear that. She'd be happier if you'd post pictures up on the wall, though.
Yeah.
Even if they're not good. I mean, I posted mine up there, and mine were terrible. So, post them up. It's about participating. You get a ribbon and everything. I'm kidding. You don't get a ribbon.
I did take a picture. And I took a picture of my best group as well.
Yeah. Well, post it up.
Maybe I'll throw those up on there. I'll throw them up on Slamfire Facebook page or something.
It's a good idea.
What else did I do? Then I, scrounged around the snow picking up brass. And I did make it back out without getting stuck. So,
nice!
Yeah. So that was a really nice end to the...
Just in time for tonight's show.
Exactly.
Beauty.
Okay, so I think that's it.
That's it for you then, huh?
I probably did other stuff, but I don't remember what it is right now.
Right.
So...
Well, if it comes to you, just feel free to interrupt because that's what I do. So, you can just kind of take on my role for the evening. All right. Well, I'll go next. My Mark II FVSR arrived, and so I've been playing with that. I haven't shot it yet. I have had it completely apart. I completely cleaned it and Loctited scope bases on and, got it all ready, but I don't have the rings that I want yet, and so I don't want to go out to the range and sight it in with the scope in its current rings, just to take it all apart and resight it in with the proper rings. So I'm just going to leave it for now. I've just been kind of pawing it and fawning it and drooling on it and stuff. I understand drool is not a fantastic lube, but there you have it. That's what I've
been
doing.
It is if you've been drinking Slipstream.
Well, which I do. I have a little dash in my coffee every morning because it's delicious.
Matthew, non-toxic doesn't necessarily translate to edible.
Oh, I always thought they were like back and forth. Anyway, it's a neat rifle. I really like it. I like the 16-inch barrel. It's nice and wieldy. It feels more compact than any other rifle I have. It is actually the shortest rifle I have right now. I really like it. The AccuTrigger on it is not as good as I thought it was going to be. I did take it apart and I did adjust it to its lightest setting, and it's still probably close to 4, 4.5, maybe even 5 pounds. It's not as light as I wanted it to be. It's very crisp. I've only dry fired it a couple times. It doesn't say anywhere not to, and online the general consensus is it's probably okay, But the two times that I did dry fire it, I do see a very small mark in the breech face. So I'm not going to dry fire it anymore unless I have snap caps. I'll just use spent brass is what I'll probably end up using. But the couple of times that I have dry fired it, it's heavier than I thought it was going to be. It's still good. Like it's very crisp. There's no over travel. There's no pre travel. You press on it and it's like a glass rod breaking. It just snaps. So it is good in that regard. I do think it is going to be very accurate. And maybe with time it will lighten up a little bit. I don't know.
I think so. And that reminds me of something that I heard Haycock say in one of his videos. And that is, you know, you pick up a gun and you dry fire it and you think, huh, the trigger's not so great. But then when it's actually loaded and you're firing ammunition, the trigger feels better than it does when you're dry firing it. And I thought that was my imagination. And then I heard Haycock say that. Has that been your experience, guys, as well? That
I've never thought about that before, but I'm going to definitely keep that in mind next time I'm out at the range and kind of see if that sort of perception kind of makes itself known to me.
Mm. Yeah, I do so much sort of, I don't even know how to say this, combat style shooting, for lack of a better term.
Right. So precise trigger pull isn't.
I don't even think about the trigger. Right. Like I'm really not. I can appreciate a good trigger, and I can, you know, I know a good trigger when I feel it. But I'm not fussy about the triggers on my guns.
Right.
Most of them are stock. I think they all are.
I'm the same as you. I don't really normally worry about it, but because this is supposed to be a sort of precision rig, I do want the trigger to be nice on it. So. I'll shoot it, and we'll see how it goes. The stock on the rifle is just their standard low-end Savage Mark II stock, and that's an issue because that stock is designed for the rifles with open sights, and so it has a very low cheek weld.
It's got to go. I mean, it's not like I mean, look at the Marlin that we were looking at that Pro Nature in your neighborhood last weekend. They put a bull barrel on it and took the sights off for a reason, and they put on a plastic stock to match the barrel. Here you've got I'm going to use the term loosely, match-grade rifle with a rack-grade stock.
That's exactly it. So
if they're going to go that far to you know, put the Accu-Trigger on there and put a bull barrel on there, why not at least make a bench rest stock that has a flat bottom, not the hunting stock?
Well, I do want a hunting-style stock. I just want the comb to be higher. Because this isn't going to be I will shoot it off the bench, but this still is going to be an out in the bush hunting rifle.
Right, but that stock is meant for looking down the barrel at irons.
That's
and
right.
This gun didn't come with that option.
So what I've been messing around with is trying to get the scope as low as possible to see if I can, you know, not have to buy a $100 stock from Boyd's. I may end up doing that anyway, but just as an exercise, and I always like my scopes as low to the bore as possible anyway. So I actually took off the scope rail. It comes with a one-piece scope rail, and it's a high scope rail. It sits up high off the receiver. So I took that off, and I went and bought two number 16 Weaver bases and put those on. They're very, very low profile, and I have medium rings on it now, but with the medium rings on, the scope is still a little ways off the receiver, so I'm going to put low rings on, and that's going to put that scope almost touching the receiver at the back. And I don't imagine getting the scope any lower and the gun still working with the bolt cycling and everything. So when it's that low, I think you might actually be able to get maybe not a perfect cheek weld, but at least a decent one. And at least decent enough for hunting. I mean, like I said, this isn't going to be a long-range precision, you know, target rifle. It is still a hunting rifle. So if that'll save me a couple bucks in, buying a new stock, I'm going to try it and see how it goes. So I'll get some pictures posted up whenever I get those rings. I actually, shout out to Pierre-Luc. He found the exact rings that I'm looking for over in Bathurst. And so I sent him an EMT. He's picking those up, and I think he'll be dropping them off to you, Trevor. So. Nice. If you come visit, bring them with you, and if not, toss them in the mail for me, would you?
Well, I think I'll try and come visit because the, like you said, the weather is nice, and yeah, I could totally just bring my .30-06 and my VZ this time.
Absolutely. We could have a rifle day at the range. That'd be awesome. So other than that, the rifle, it has a fluted and threaded 16-inch barrel. The fluting is more cosmetic than anything, I think. They're very shallow flutes.
Yeah, it's rimfire.
Yeah, it is rimfire. So they're more cosmetic, but they look cool. I was talking about getting a linear muzzle brake for it. I don't think I'm going to. The reason for that is the bull barrel measures 0.8 inches, and all the muzzle brakes that I can find are 0.92. And so it would be bigger. It wouldn't be flush like the way I want it to look.
No, and then that looks cool on an AR where then it kind of fills up the gap in the front of the handguard.
Right. This but would just without, be this. Yeah. It would look kind of awkward and weird. So I'm just going to leave the muzzle cap on it. The cool thing is that fake can that Luke sold to you to give to me. Anyway, you brought it to me last time you were visiting. Of course, it's the same thread pitch. So I can screw that right on, and it looks like I've got a suppressed rifle when, in fact, I just have one that...
Full-on Mall Ninja.
You
Let's
got it.
Let's put a fake can on a bolt-action 22.
There might be one picture of it eventually, but it... Trust
just
me,
one.
It's not going out. It's
Do
not going
to
be on there often.
When you take that picture, and I'm doing all this for my buddy Ed, by the way. When you take that picture, put your airsoft gun in it, please.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Here's my 22 with a fake can and my airsoft Glock 17, guys.
I'm awesome. I'm a mall ninja.
We can't laugh at ourselves.
Who can we laugh at?
Everybody's already laughing at us. So
that's right. We might as well join in. Jump on the bandwagon, right? The other really cool thing is right now there's a $25 U.S. mail-in rebate on these rifles. So that's like $6,000 Canadian.
How's the time to cash in on that?
So, yeah, I got my paperwork filled out. It's in an envelope ready to hit the mail. So I'll be getting, hopefully, you know, almost $40.
That reminds me. There was one that a $50 mail-in rebate that came with my Model 111, and I didn't even bother to send it in. They count on guys like me, right?
Yes, they do. You should totally do that.
Only 50% of the people mail them in.
Yep. I should also give a quick shout out to Ian. He sent in a picture. He sent an email with a picture of his FVSR in a Boyd stock, and it looked really cool. So I just wanted to give him a shout out, let him know that his rifle looks nice too.
Boyd stock that is like the ambidextrous one.
The laminate one. Red, blue, laminate. And I think they're ambidextrous. So I did get a Vortex Crossfire 2 with it, a 2-7, and I was worried about the parallax error because I wanted the exact same scope as is on my Axis, and that one is, of course, a centerfire scope. The parallax is set at 100 yards, and I was worried that with a rimfire, with the parallax being at 100 yards, I might get some error because there's no way to adjust it on these ones. They do make the Crossfire 2, a 2-7, for rimfire, but it doesn't have the dead hold ballistic reticle. So I wanted the exact same one. So I got it, and I found out, apparently, a good rule of thumb is the maximum parallax error for your standard scope, this is for like a 3-9 by 40 scope, is 15 millimeters for every 100 yards you're off of your parallax setting. So that's not that bad. I'm not too worried about that. So if just as an example, a regular scope set at 100 yards, if you shoot at 200 yards, so that's 100 yards off of the parallax setting, you're only going to be off a maximum of 15 millimeters. So just, you know, you guys can use that as you see fit, and maybe it'll help people out there who are worried about parallax issues. It's really not as big a deal as you think it is. So
that's like 1.5 centimeters, man.
It is. That's not a big deal whenever you're shooting 200 yards.
That's also the most extreme.
That's the absolute extreme.
So you're just trying barely to impress you guys that I can the convert center. Decimals, that's all.
Oh, you just wanted to.
I mean, how many meters is that?
I got past potatoes on that one.
You
that
did.
Would be 0000015.
Funny. So carrying on, because the scope has it's called the dead hold ballistic, it's the BDC, ballistic drop calculator? No, ballistic drop, what would BDC?
Compensator,
there you go. It has that, and so I went to Vortex to see if they had any sort of calculator, and they do. They have their long range ballistic calculator, and you can put in your target or your load data. You put in temperature, you put in all kinds of variables, and you click calculate, and it'll give you, if you zero at X, it'll tell you what where your bullet's going to hit for the rest of your crosshairs, the rest of your drops. So I thought that was really neat. So I'm going to definitely take the gun, sight it in exactly where I want it, and then print off a sheet that tells me what the rest of my hash marks are, so I'll know exactly what the ranges are for those.
Oh, wow. Well, we should.
That?
What's that?
Can you send me the link to that?
I can, yes. You can just Sorry.
I was just going to say we should figure that out for my Vortex on my 30-06 as well.
Do you have the same BDC on that?
I think it's BDC.
Awesome. Yeah. No, we can totally do that. You go to vortexoptics.com, and it's the link that says LRBC in the upper right-hand corner. So for anybody who's listening wants to know what that link is, it's vortexoptics.com.
Yeah, I've got BDC, not MilDots. I've got MilDots in my TAC-21 and BDC in my
306. The cool thing is they have all of their different reticles on that. And so you can pick whichever reticle you have, right, and it'll do the same calculations no matter what.
Nice.
So it's really cool. Yeah. So two other things. One of them's really exciting. You'll never believe it. but one of them, I learned the difference between Picatinny and Weaver rails.
Size.
That's basically it. Weaver rails came out first, and they were non-standard. The slots were not always the same distance apart. You know, they could be, you know, whatever. There was no standardization for it. The U.S. military wanted a standardized rail, so they came out with one in 1995, and that was the Picatinny rail, and it's sort of a mil-spec standard. Anything, all accessories, whether they're for Weaver or Picatinny, will all fit on a Picatinny rail, but the reverse is not true. Picatinny accessories won't always fit on a Weaver rail. So if you're buying a rail, get a Picatinny, and everything will fit on it, no problem. And if you're buying accessories, get Weaver, because those will fit on both, no problem. So, anyway, I just thought I'd point that out, because that was kind of neat, you know, learn something new every day kind of thing. And then, the pièce de résistance. I'm sure I said that wrong, but this is...
No, actually, you nailed it.
Nice. This is the most exciting news I've had in a long time. So, you need a little bit of backstory here. A couple weeks ago, I went tobogganing with my youth group.
Do you remember, Matthew, I'm going to cut you off. Do you remember when I said the most stressful day of my life ever was the day that my my SIG didn't come in?
Yes.
And you made fun of me for that?
Yes.
Consider that before you carry on with this next little thing here.
Oh, it's... Okay.
Because you said this was like the best news you've ever had just now.
Right.
Okay.
I think we might be on different pages, but we'll see. We'll see. So I went tobogganing with my youth group, or the youth group at my, just not my youth group, but they weren't at my church. And anyway, I lost my keys. And all my keys are my trigger lock keys and cable lock keys and all that stuff. And of course, a house key and car key and whatever. I was most worried about one particular key. I have two cable locks that use the same key, and it's fantastic. I got one key for two cable locks. It's, you know, I don't have to worry about losing keys. And I only have one of those left now because one of them's over in a snowbank in northern Maine. So that's gone. So I don't want to have a trigger lock on a gun with only one key around in case I lose that key. Now I'm hooped. So I was all dejected and bummed and getting ready to go buy combination locks and stuff because I just couldn't use these cable locks anymore.
Which you should do anyway, but...
Right. You know. Well, trigger the good news here. When the Savage showed up, it had a cable lock in it. The exact same cable lock as the other two, and the key fits them all! So now I have three keys!
So now you have one key to rule them all.
I do! Oh, it's amazing! I went and I immediately put one back on my key ring, I immediately went and hid one, you know, in another hiding spot, and now I've got three keys, and oh, I'm just so excited about having that. My cable locks are back. Now I've got three cable locks that all use the same key.
Yeah, I stand by what I said. This really isn't something to get that excited over.
It's pretty excited. I'm just telling you.
Matthew.
Yeah.
Get a life.
No.
Matthew.
Yeah.
Find cable locks with combos.
I tried. You know what? I searched for 3 days, and I could not find one that I liked.
Then you didn't search long enough.
You find one for me.
They didn't have any in pink?
You find one for me that I like. And
oh,
I will not
like.
Only buy... Yeah, I looked. They're out there. I just couldn't find one that suited me.
I see.
So if you find one that I like, I will not only buy me one, I'll buy you one.
You know,
you heard that, listeners. That applies to you, too. Start sending Matthew links of cable locks with combos.
I hate
them,
you
please.
So much right now. So much. Owen, what did you say there?
Never mind.
That's too bad.
I think you said it had to match you. I was going to make a comment about it having to be pink or something.
Right. Pink is good. It was pink shirt day at school the other day. I did not participate. I don't have any pink shirts. I had burgundy. That's close, right? That's like manly pink, if I'm not mistaken. I probably am. So, Trevor, carry on with this epic tale of awesomeness.
All right. So it was all kinds of awesome. My week started off by going to Matthews to finally get some shooting done. I hadn't been on a range. I haven't fired a gun since November. This is like the longest drought I've ever been in of any kind of drought. It's awful.
Not a, like a precipitation drought, though, because we've had lots of that.
Yes. So, we went to the range, you and I and your buddy Matt, mm-hmm. and tested out all of my new pistols.
That was fun.
It was fun. First thing we did was we got the chronograph work done, and I was able to develop loads for 124 grain bullets with two different types of gunpowder. Got to go back and retest the 147 grain, but I immediately got home and started reloading like literally that day. So highlights of the weekend included finally shooting my second only ever squirrels challenge. Did pretty good. Shot with Ting, Jules' rifle, I believe, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. So
I didn't tell her that you borrowed it.
I know. And
when she listens, she may yell at you. I'm just saying.
She'll yell at me for you lending me her rifle.
That is probably the way it's going to work, yes.
Well, you'll notice I didn't say anything when she was home, right?
That's right. Yeah,
we didn't even talk about it.
No.
So that was a lot of fun, and I'm having not shot one in a long time. I'm pretty happy with my group. I got all five bullets on the head within the time. So
I think you did all right.
It's all right. I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
As far as the new handguns go, I fell in love with the FN and fell out of love with the SIG, and the Steyr broke.
who actually broke your Steyr?
So I think it was Matt.
It was one of the Matts, and I'm not going to say which one.
Yeah.
So now Trevor is, just so the listeners know, is selling all his guns and going back to Glocks.
No. This DFN is absolutely amazing. Let me talk about the SIG for a second. The SIG is amazing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the SIG. For my style of shooting, I find that there's an excessive amount of muzzle flip. I'm not talking about recoil. It doesn't hurt my hand to shoot this thing or anything. The pivot point where it rotates in your hand is just not in a good place. The grip is really far back, and the bore axis is really high. And as a result, the muzzle flips more than it needs to for a 9mm, which leads me to believe that I wouldn't be as fast shooting this gun as I am with other guns. But the gun is still fantastic. The trigger is amazing. The ergonomics are amazing. But it flips a little bit. And if you don't mind that, well then, it's a great gun. Try it. I highly recommend it. I love it. I'm not selling mine. But this FN, I talked about it really briefly last week. There's a listener, Spencer the Whale. He wrote in. He's got one as well. Not the 5-inch, though. He's got the 4-inch. And he is as
because he enjoys freedom where he is.
Yeah, exactly. He enjoys his as much as I do. And he points out a couple of things that I forgot to mention in my brief review last week. But just the gun, it worked flawlessly and shot really well. I was accurate with it. I was accurate with the SIG, too. I got looking at that SIG group again, Matthew. Uh-huh. There's a lot of vertical, but there's no horizontal. The bullet group is literally like one bullet wide.
Right.
I just let it climb up on me, and then I changed my point of aim because it was shooting high and it was shooting left.
That's so right, it was. Yep.
Yeah. No, that's
but that was sights because you and I were doing the same thing.
Exactly, yeah. Yep. The trigger on that SIG is fantastic. The FN, really, really comfortable. It's slim, fits my hand really well. The trigger, I took it. Oh, remember I took it apart last week when I got it? I said I would never take it apart again.
Yes.
I had it apart and back together in 5 minutes.
Oh, well, that's good. At least you got
because
it quicker.
I did it on my workbench this time, and I used tweezers.
Ah.
So. No, it's not complicated to reassemble. It's just tedious.
Right.
You have to get the parts together, and if you slip or you don't hold them right, they come apart, they move, you got to put them back in again. It's not complicated, it's tedious is the best way I could describe that. So, anyway, I took it apart, polished some more of the trigger parts that I hadn't polished last time, and the trigger's better, but it still has a ways to go, I think, as the gun gets broken in. It's a little creepy and it's a little heavy. It's
You're not a little fan. Creepy
and a little heavy.
I wasn't gonna go there.
But even like Olman was talking about a while ago, like just shoot it, right? Just shoot it. It's not a bullseye. It's not meant for standing on a line shooting bullseyes. It's meant for practical shooting, and you got a forgiving A zone, and the trigger's more than good enough for what we do. What else? I bought that SR9 during the show last week. I really was buying a gun while we were recording, and so the transfer's been initiated on that. So hopefully the transfer should be approved by tomorrow because I initiated it on Friday, but it is Quebec after all.
You never know.
And, hopefully then he'll ship it out. Oh, and they asked me, would you like us to email you confirmation that the transfer had been approved? I said, what? Never done that before.
Hmm.
Yeah, they've never offered me that before.
Nice. And, well, that's cool.
Yeah, she said, well, it's just easier to email it to you than wait than make you wait for it in the mail. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Hello. You guys are finally getting caught up to the 21st century. Way to go. I said, yeah, you're finally getting caught up with cutting down wait times for ATTs just in time for ATTs to get rolled into our licenses. Way
lovely.
To go.
Lovely. Yeah.
I said that. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then finally, I am in the process of buying back my Remington 870 shotgun.
So this will be the third time you've bought this now?
No.
Are you sure? Is it the fourth?
No. I took the you're going to make me tell the story now.
No, you don't need to tell
the
story.
I took the shotgun. I took the shotgun in trade for a bow.
And right.
I took the shotgun. I gave them $350 credit towards the price of the bow for the shotgun. And at that time, it was, you know, all wood, 28.5-inch barrel. And then it's gone through so many renditions throughout its time with me. I put on the 18.5-inch police barrel. I put on the Blackhawk Knox recoil reduction system, the fore-end, and the pistol grip with the shock absorbing stock. Oh, two different scope mounts, and then I put on Magpul furniture. Then I took off Magpul furniture.
So, what rendition is it coming back to you in?
It's coming back in what I would like to call perfection.
Okay.
It's
a Mossberg 590.
It has a Nordic plus 4 extension tube on it. The factory 28-inch barrel has been cut flush to match the end and rethreaded for choke tubes by Casey at Tactical Ordnance.
Uh huh.
Fiber optic front sight has Magpul fore end and stock, Mesa Tactical 6-shell caddy scope mount on the receiver. It's got a jumbo safety. It's got an Osprey Ordnance no champ follower, and it has a S&J hardware single point sling, as well as a Magpul sling adapter barrel clamp on the front.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, she's
done.
That is set up just a very nice setup. Yeah. You need that back.
I do.
For sure.
And I'm getting it back for what I sold it for.
Beauty. Even better.
Yeah. And I traded the, I bought the Glock 17 with a bunch of mags and a belt and a holster and a whole pile of reloading components. Kept all the reloading components, sold the Glock back for $25 more than I paid for it, and now I'm buying the shotgun back for what I sold the shotgun for. And I kept all. Yeah, so.
Awesome.
I nick bearded him. If you listen to
it. Yes, yes, you certainly did.
You'll appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, that's nick, a gun dude joke for sure.
Yeah, nick bearding is not just a southern phenomenon.
It happens in Kanakistan, too.
Yeah.
So. Cool.
Why don't you jump into some upcoming events, Matthew? Let's move on. Let's transition. Let's segue, if you will.
All right. So upcoming events then. The 5th Annual Charity Shoot, June 27th. I have some interesting news regarding Steve Lee. There's like a 90% chance he's going to be there.
Sweet.
I was talking to him on Skype just before the show, and he was saying that, you know, when is it? I'm pretty sure I'm coming. I got some mates coming. They want to shoot a bear. You know, so we're going to come back to New Brunswick, shoot a black bear at the end of bear season, and then we're going to come to your shoot. I'm like, beauty. So that's cool. The para course with Tommy is July 3rd. The mini match with that, or associated with that course, is July 4th. I don't know why we're still mentioning this. It's sold out.
Well, the mini match isn't.
That's true. The mini match isn't. So, yes.
If you're in the area and you want to shoot a 6-stage IDPA qualifier style match, come on out.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
See how you rank in IDPA.
Yep.
Pretty sure
and because it's
master.
IDPA, you don't need your black badge.
That's right.
So that's kind of something to consider as well. Summer Slam is coming up. That, of course, is New Brunswick's biggest and most awesomest IPSC Level 4 match. That's August 8th and 9th.
That's a Level 3. We don't have Level 4s in Canada.
Oh, that's what I meant to say, Level 3.
I know.
Quiet. Yes, level 3. You can go to RustyGooseGunClub.com, I believe, to get the registration form for that. The NFA Annual General Meeting, May 23rd and 24th in Quebec City. If you're a member, go on out and, you know, get some news. And also to all of the Canadian National Sporting Clays Association members. So basically just Jason Philp.
No, he shoots skeet, remember?
The 2015 CNSCA AGM will be held April 11th at the Bass Pro in Calgary after the Silver Willow Shoot. So at the meeting, they will be electing the new board or the board of directors. So if you're a member of that organization, you should be going to that AGM and supporting that as well. So anything else, gentlemen, that we need to cover before we move into some news?
No.
All right, then. Let's move into some news. And Trevor, you're going to take the first one because it's sort of general news and you sort of have all the info on it.
Okay, I'm going to do my best to bring the listeners up to speed on what's been happening with the NFA. It appeared on Facebook a couple of days ago that the Executive Vice President, Sean Bevans, was no longer working for the NFA. Shortly after that, there was some confusion on the NFA Facebook pages. And right now, there are two Facebook NFA groups, if you will. As a result of Sean being let go, there was a divide among the directors, the board of directors on the NFA. And some of the directors have tried to, or have, they held a meeting in which it was voted to remove the current president of the NFA, Sheldon Clare. Both sides are claiming that they are in charge of the NFA. Sheldon Clare and the executive claim to still be in power and are running the NFA and everything is business as usual. And then we have some directors who are claiming they are now in charge of the NFA and that Sheldon Clare is no longer the president. So hopefully sooner rather than later, all of this business will be clarified once and for all and we'll know who in fact is officially in charge of the NFA. I was told today by a fellow field officer that a letter came out from the NFA's lawyer stating that the attempted removal of the president violated the bylaws and the attempted removal of certain members of the board was not done in conjunction with existing bylaws either, and that it was that lawyer's opinion that nobody's been removed from power in any way and that they should return to the status quo and it's business as usual. And if anybody wants to remove anybody, they should do it according to the bylaws. So unfortunately, it's been a hectic couple of days and it's certainly a distraction and we don't really need any of this. We're supposed to be united, not fighting among ourselves. But for now, it is what it is. I would ask people to avoid speculation and picking sides and spreading rumors and repeating what you've heard that, you know, you may or may not know is to be true. As coordinator for New Brunswick, I've been copied on all of the emails pertaining to Sean and I've been copied on all the emails pertaining to, the board and, move by certain board members to try and remove Sheldon. And, that's what's going on right now. Essentially, we have two groups claiming to be running the NFA. For now. And we'll know in a couple of days what it is, and hopefully it can be put behind us so we can keep moving forward and fighting for gun rights instead of fighting each other.
Alrighty then. Cool.
I think that's it. Did I?
No, I think you summed that up nicely. We'll just we'll bring you guys, the listeners there, we'll bring you more info as it becomes available to us. And like Trevor said, we'll just kind of hope that everything smooths itself out shortly and get back to business as usual. Owen, do you want to take this next news story?
Sure. Okay. Mayor suggests gun amnesty to reduce crime. Saskatoon Mayor Don Acheson says allowing residents to turn in firearms without fear of prosecution could present one solution to the amount of gun crime in the city Atchison floated the idea in an interview Wednesday after a 30-year-old man was shot in an apparent home invasion early Wednesday in the 2000 block of 20th Street West. It would be nice to have an amnesty day where people could just bring their guns in and whatever and turn them in like they do in other communities. Atchison said, whether it's legal or not, I don't know. We'll have to work through all that where people could bring the weapons in. Other communities in Canada, such as Toronto and other Ontario municipalities, have held gun amnesties to collect firearms. The Niagara Regional Police Service, for example, held a gun amnesty in November and collected 169 guns, including 38 handguns, a crossbow, and 9,041 rounds of ammunition. Saskatoon conducted a firearm amnesty in 1992. The police officer in charge of that program, Thomas Vannon, was convicted of criminal charges in 2005 for having a collection of prohibited weapons at his home, many of which had been seized in the amnesty. They were supposed to have been destroyed in a blast furnace.
The levels of fail is why I put this in. There are like three or four levels of fail here. The first one is assuming that a gun amnesty is going to reduce crime. So that's the first one, because last time I checked, the bad guys don't turn in their guns. Just old people who have guns they don't know how to get rid of, basically, they turn them in. Or smart gun owners go and get like old Cooey 84s and turn them in for, you know, a $200 gift certificate when the gun is only worth $80, you know. So it doesn't do anything to reduce crime. And the next level of fail is when he's like, it'd be nice to like have like, you know, a day when people could like whatever, you know. He sounded like he was a 16-year-old girl. And then he's like, whether it's legal or not, I don't know. Oh, good. So we don't even know if it's legal. So this and then on top of that, he quotes another place that had an amnesty before, and the police officer in charge stole all the guns and kept them for himself. Like, oh my goodness. I just thought it was really funny. Thought I'd throw that in there. So gun amnesties don't work, guys. Bad guys don't turn in their guns. They just don't.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, at any time, if someone says, I don't want this gun, they can just call up the RCMP and say, I've got a gun I don't want, and I'd like to get rid of it. And
yep.
The RCMP would be glad to take it.
Yep.
So anybody can do this at any time.
That's right.
Is the thing.
You don't need an amnesty to do this. You can just go turn your guns in whenever.
And yep. I even heard that on occasion, members have been given special permission. As long as everything is on the up and up and it's in the open, members have been given permission, if they're gun owners, to purchase that firearm from the owner.
Yep. And why not? Why waste a perfectly good firearm? It's
right.
You know,
once it's turned in, it's gone, right?
That's it. Yep. Might as well keep it in the hands of somebody who's going to appreciate it.
Unless you're this guy.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, let's move into our main topic. And joining us now, we have the one and only Jeff Reese from the Calgary Shooting Center. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Good, Matthew. How are you?
Not bad. You're back, actually, is what I should say, because we've had you on before. We talked 1911s versus the amazing gun, the Glock, I believe.
Well, yeah.
It was like, do you want like a boat anchor, or do you want something that shoots like 9mm regularly? I'm just, you know, wasn't that how it went?
Do you want overpriced? Well,
yeah, you can get 1911s and 9mm, so yeah.
but
yeah, and they hold a whopping 9 rounds. That's amazing.
Amazing. Look, let's not, we're going down the wrong rabbit hole already. Welcome back, Jeff. I believe you're here to talk to us a little bit about communism.
Yes, it's sandy, and the rum is cheap.
Not all communism comes with a resort in Cuba, Jeff.
Some of it's cold.
Well, the good kind does.
But I understand that you have a solution to how to avoid being a communist.
That would be shopping at the Calgary Shooting Center, their premier shopping center for firearms in Western Canada.
Shop there or
shoot there.
Maybe.
Oh. You can shoot there, too.
Why don't you tell us, Jeff, about the Calgary Shooting Center facilities, more along the lines of the shooting center and not the shopping center?
You mean the range side of things?
Yeah, you got a couple of different facilities there, don't you?
Yeah, we have 12 25-meter bays and, of course, the cinema range, which is like shooting a video game with real handguns and rifles.
I want to hear more about this.
Okay, so picture the biggest TV you've ever seen and project.
Trevor, you and I have experience shooting TVs, don't we?
Those were monitors.
Oh, they were monitors. That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, so it's at least a 23 to 24 foot screen projecting various video game type scenarios on it. And instead of using a little click click laser gun, you get to shoot your AR-15 at it.
That is awesome. What kind? What's the screen and material made out of? Like, how does this work?
It's paper, and it's just a regular projector, but there's invisible lasers, like laser beams.
Laser beams. Let's get sharks with laser beams on their heads.
I know, and the lasers track your bullet hole hits on the paper, and if your bullet hole hits correspond with, say, a steel plate, that's a video, it goes ting and falls over.
That is so cool. I really hope you're putting finger quotes up when you say lasers each time, though, right?
Yes. Good. Freaking laser beams.
There you go. That's the one.
Yeah.
So, hunting as well, Jeff? There's hunting scenarios?
There's like wild boar. There's running deer, running pigs.
Do you have ones where you like walk but you don't see anything?
The McClatchy program, we haven't got that one up yet. No.
Okay, well, I can take footage if you want.
And of course, there's also some stuff that's kind of like not for the public, you know, hostage type, you know, real people stuff.
So, for like law enforcement training and stuff.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
That's
cool.
So
do you actually have local law enforcement coming in and utilizing the facility with that area of programming?
I believe sometimes, and most times they just use their static paper targets that they're required to qualify on.
Right. So you guys have it, but the public isn't using it, and neither are the law enforcement?
I've never seen law enforcement use it, but generally you don't see them train anyway because they're behind closed doors.
Right.
Because you don't want to see them doing their barrel rolls and ninja skills. So yeah.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Awesome. So, so you have that piece of equipment, and so let's say I show up and I want to take my hunting rifle and shoot wild boars on this thing. What's that going to run a fella?
It's like an hourly rate.
Uh-huh.
So, mostly half an hour to 45 minutes is generally what most people do, and you can just split it up between people. Like, you don't have to pay a full hour. You can get as many people in there as you want.
Right.
And just share the cost. So,
what's the cost on something like that?
I believe it's $120 an hour. I'm not quite sure because we generally do it in 15-minute increments. So,
right. Is it fairly busy?
Yeah, a lot of especially Christmas time, get a lot of corporate stuff going on. So,
okay, rentals and stuff like that.
For the firearms?
No, like they'll come in and they'll rent that space or reserve it ahead of time for like Christmas.
Oh, yeah, it has to be set up ahead of time because of you need someone to run the computer part of it. So
I don't suppose you could bring in your own footage.
I haven't seen that yet, no, because it has
That'd be
kind
of cool, though, wouldn't it? You could like do a walkthrough of your house and like put zombies in the closets and stuff and like clear your house. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, can't do that.
Well, here's hoping.
Yeah, the cinema range is $60 for 15 minutes.
Okay. $60 for 15 minutes. Okay.
And
the other range, how many bays again on the other range?
There's 12. There's two banks of six.
Two banks of six. Okay. Yeah. So Calgary Shooting Center sells memberships?
Yep. They're $600 a year for a standard and $1,200 for the premium. Mm-hmm. And the biggest difference between standard and premium is
about $600.
About $600, yeah. Plus, you get a free guest every time, and you get a big discount on the cinema range.
That's cool. The ability to bring a guest is key, I think, for a lot of people, because I know I enjoy shooting, and I enjoy going to the range and shooting, but it's so much more fun when you can bring somebody with you.
It is, yeah. Plus, you're kind of required to bring a friend unless you're licensed.
Right, okay, gotcha.
You can't shoot by yourself as an unlicensed walk-in.
Okay, but so unlicensed people can buy memberships then?
Not really.
No,
we don't really do that.
You
generally have to have a PAL in place, or at least have taken the course and have the PAL coming. So
okay, well that's cool though.
And yeah. I remember when I was there, Jeff, getting a tour of the members lounge.
Hmm?
Is that part of the standard package or the premium package?
It's part of both.
Okay.
Yeah. And you get to use the cleaning tanks and the compressed air and all that kind of stuff, too. So.
Oh, nice little spot there to clean your guns and maintain them and stuff.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, and this premium members can get locker rentals just for their targets and gear, not for firearms. But you do get two free firearm storage on site within the vault. So if you don't want to bring your guns home, you can leave them there.
Right, because, why would you want to bring your guns home? That'd be,
Yeah, no.
But there you probably actually do have a fair amount of clientele that take advantage of that, don't you?
Well, we have a lot of guys who are either working in the oil field or working
that makes sense. If you're away from home for a while, you could put them in there. And the other option could be somebody who wants to store their restricteds there. If they want to come shoot right after work or on their lunch break, they don't have to worry about ATTs to work and stuff. They can just bring it to the range, leave it there, and then go there and shoot whenever they want.
Yeah, an ATT to your work. I got to try that one.
Yeah, give it a try. Let me know how it works
out. I don't have to because I work at a gun club.
Oh, right.
Exactly. Yeah, rub that in. So what kind of firearm rentals does the Calgary Shooting Center have? Like, what can I come in off the street, come in off the street and rent? What can I shoot?
With your own license or is just with a range officer?
Well, or give me both options.
Well, you just have your restricted, so you can get your Glocks and your SIGs and your 1911 and your Berettas and all that sort of stuff.
Because that sounds like something Trevor would do. Trevor would go in and rent a 1911, I think.
Well, he would want the Arsenal one that's two 1911s stuck together.
Yes, that sounds like him.
Because if one 1911 doesn't get you going, two definitely will.
Yeah, twice the fail.
Twice the jams.
You don't have that available for rent, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, wow. Tell us about the Daniel Defense range rental rifle that...
Telling us about what we could go in and rent as, like, if you're off the street. Like, what can you just go in if you've never shot before, you just want to go in and shoot with a range officer? What can you rent? What can you shoot?
Everything from a .22 pistol up to an Uzi.
Nice.
Thompson. G3.
So are these prohibited? Like, do you have a prohib license on site there?
Yeah. Those are prohibited. So you have to be with a range officer.
That's cool though. I mean, still, if you wanna go and try an Uzi, and there you go. Go to the Calgary Shooting Center. Stop being a communist.
MP5, whatever you want.
Wow, nice. So that's something. So regular. So if I understand correctly, you can rent the prohibs, but you can only fire them under the supervision of a range officer.
Or if you're one of those lucky unicorns that has the prohib on his license.
Oh, then you're good to go on your own?
Yeah, so if you have your FNFAL endorsement, you can rent the FNFAL.
And do you accept like Sharpie marker endorsements on the back of my PAL?
You can then shoot a prohibited in Sharpie.
There you, there you go.
Well, you're not old enough to even have prohib on your license, I don't think.
Don't confuse me with logic and the facts.
Okay, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's shotguns, there's Daniel Defense, there's, Sturmgewehrs from Europe, like weird different kind of rifle.
That is cool. What's your favorite one to shoot?
I don't know. I think the Thompson 45 is pretty fun.
Yeah, it's got it. Do you have a drum mag for it or a stick mag?
Stick mag.
Okay, cool.
It is semi-automatic, just to let you know.
Oh, yeah. I kind of figured it was. Still neat, though.
Yeah, we don't let people loose with full autos. That's a little...
Guess.
Yeah.
I guess, whatever.
Hey, you're starting to sound like a communist here.
Yeah, starting to.
We don't let people shoot full auto. That would be dangerous.
In Mother Russia, full auto for you only, not for me. Wait, other way around.
Mother Russia, full auto shoots you. Actually, that's correct.
Okay. Hold on, Trevor. Can you guess this sound?
Oh, you son of a gun. Yeah, I know what that is. That was definitely the cork on a bottle of Lagavula.
Good guess.
All right, so Trevor, you were asking about a Daniel Defense rifle or something.
Yeah, there's a pretty interesting story about one of their range rental rifles that I'd like Jeff to share with us.
Oh, the DD?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got some rounds through it.
that's putting it lightly. So what's the life expectancy of a Daniel Defense rifle, Jeff?
I don't know. We're pushing 16,000 and it's still going.
It's all right.
Yeah.
How often is it cleaned and maintained?
Once in a while. Every once every week, it gets taken apart a little bit and just gets a quick scrub and gets thrown back together.
But you guys are abusing it pretty well. I mean, it is standing up to the abuse. Yeah. That's really cool.
Once the rifling disappears, we clean the bore.
You're almost there, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how many more thousands it's got left. We have put through, I don't know, upwards of 30,000 through a Norinco, so.
And then the bore was just too shiny to stabilize the bullet?
Yeah, it made nice little, like, elongated patterns on the end. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. Excellent. It kind of just rattled its way through and...
Yeah.
Hit the kind target.
Of more like a shotgun than a rifle at that stage.
Pretty much, yeah.
Cool.
Of course, then the pins started getting worn and the upper and lower started kind of slipping apart a little bit, so...
No, the gun didn't blow up. It just fell apart.
It just self-disassembled itself.
So, Jeff, why don't we wrap up with you telling us what product lines that Calgary Shooting Center carries, and then maybe let us know where folks can find you guys if they want to pop in and do some shoots thing.
Let's see. What have I sold Trevor lately?
Not an SR9, and I'm still paying for that, apparently.
Yeah, that was a bad move on your part.
Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah. So we have FN, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Yes. the standard Smith, Glock, Ruger, Daniel Defense, Colt Canada, all the major brands you can get in Canada pretty much. So any handgun, revolver, rifle, shotgun you could ever want or need to want.
What handgun would you say you sell the most of?
Glocks, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I just need
it. Oh, actually, no. I should probably say the SIG 320 has been taking off for some strange reason. I don't know why.
It's because people keep listening to the show. You wait. Next week, they're going to drop off like crazy.
Yeah. Mm. No. The gun is awesome.
You are going to see a spike in FN sales here soon.
I think so. I've shot one. It's really nice.
Whose did you shoot?
I don't know. Some guy out east. Some guy with way too much money.
It's in the contract.
I like how Trevor has his own test firer.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's service not offered to all members, but you know,
just the special ones who are just on the edge of teetering on communism. Is that special, is that what it is?
Special is the correct word there.
Yeah. Special, yes. Here, take my gun and shoot it.
Haters are going to hate, man. They're just upset because I get my guns hand-picked and then test-fired. I don't understand the problems.
Yeah, it's fine with me. I have no problems with it at all.
Yeah, I bet you.
It's fine, too.
And, of course, we also have a certified master gunsmith.
Good to have those on hand.
And a master stock maker. So if you want a new piece of wood on your Holland double, he can do it.
Wow.
Cool.
So, Trevor, when you want to get your Holland, let me know.
I will. You'll be the first to know, buddy. Exactly.
Don't see that happening.
I mean, yeah, it's a kind of a specialized thing. I don't think there are any. There's not many stock makers around, I don't think, so.
No. We got a guy here, but he mostly just works on making stocks for Cooies.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, these stocks start out around 5,000 to 6,000.
Jumpins.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, where can the listeners find the Calgary Shooting Center if they want to pop in and do some shooting?
Calgary, I think.
Well, online, the shootingcenter.com, and if you want to come into the store, it's 7130 Fisher Road, southeast in Calgary.
Excellent. And remember, listeners, first guy to post a picture to the Facebook page for the Slamfire Radio with a sign outside the Calgary Shooting Center that says, if you don't shop here, you're a communist, gets a free t-shirt.
How many people have said that? Like online, in phone calls, in emails, on forums.
That's awesome. I love it. I love that it's taken off.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yep. And then I go to Cuba. So.
The irony is
spend
thick.
Your money. It's spend your money there so that Jeff
can, go visit.
Help support communism by not being a communist by shopping at the shooting sports or the Calgary shooting sports.
Oh, I have to be kept in rum and cigars somehow.
So. Oh, one way or another, it's got to be done.
Exactly.
Yes.
Beauty. Well, Jeff, awesome. It was a pleasure having you on again. We'll have you on again sometime probably. But we just wanted to hear more about this awesome Cine range. Is that what you called it?
It's a cinema range. Think of it as a video game, but with real guns. And
oh, man. I have got to come try that out sometime. Road trip, right, Trevor? We'll go next week.
Yeah. Easter's coming.
Yeah, I think the most one guys have fun with is probably like the Duck Hunt. It's not like it isn't Nintendo Duck Hunt.
Oh,
but
that's
it's
too
similar.
Bad. I was hoping that stupid dog would jump up and laugh at you when you missed. Me.
No, that's my job.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that is cool.
It's harder than you think. It is quite challenging sometimes.
Sounds like fun though.
Oh, it is. And there's sound, you know, sound and effects and all that good stuff. So.
And recoil is simulated pretty well, too, isn't it?
Yeah, because, well, you're shooting your own gun. So, yeah.
Wow, this recoil is amazing.
Yeah, it's almost like it's real.
Oh, funny. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. And, I shop at the Calgary Shooting Center or else...
You're one of those communists.
That's it.
Alrighty, good times. Remember, if you don't shop there...
You're a communist.
Exactly. So, listener feedback. This first one comes to us from Justin. Hello, Slamfire Radio. I recently inherited my grandfather's Lee Enfield No. 1 Mark III. Unfortunately, it did not come with a magazine. I was hoping to try and acquire one. It seems like the easiest way to get one is to buy one in the United States. My question is, what would I have to do to make a 10-round magazine legal in Canada? If I get a gunsmith in the U.S. to pin it to 5 rounds, is that enough, or does it need to go through a specific process? My grandfather would be driving back to Canada with it in his trunk, if that's relevant. Thank you. I will continue to hug my guns. Excellent. Well, Justin, keep in mind from now on that... there is no capacity limitation on bolt-action rifles in Canada. So it does not have to be pinned. And you can find Lee Enfield magazines in Canada. You can go on Gun Owners of Canada and put a want-to-buy ad, or Gun Nuts and put a want-to-buy ad. You can go.
I'm just cluing into what's going on here. I have one. Send me your email address, or send me your mailing address, and I will ship you. I have a spare Lee Enfield, number 1 Mark III. Mine's for a number, I don't know if it'll, I'll send it to you anyway. Yeah. And if it fits, it fits. I think they're all interchangeable anyway.
No, they're not.
Oh, they're not.
No. Oh. No, they're actually not. No.
Yeah, mine's in number 3. No, number...
A quick Google search will tell you which ones are interchangeable with which models. You can, anyway, the point is, Justin, you can find them in Canada, and I would encourage you to do that because I don't know if you want to take a mag across the border if you don't have to, even if it is perfectly legal. I know like some pistol magazines, you can't export them.
Yeah. My local gun shop carries Lee Enfield mags, so yours probably does too. Just go in and ask. They're around. Just go buy one. There's lots of them in Canada, and like Trevor said, you don't need to pin it. It's no restriction for bolt action mags.
No. And so, for your information, there's also no restrictions on rimfire, whether it be semi or rimfire rifle, whether it be semi or bolt action. And there's no restrictions on pump actions as well. You want to be aware of hunting regulations. But as far as federal laws are concerned, you're good to go on a bolt action.
Yeah, it's just the semis that are kind of restricted.
Semi-center fire.
Yeah, semi-center
fire. Long gun, yeah.
Cool.
All right, who's got Spencer?
I'll take Spencer's. He says, just a couple comments about the last show. First, for Matt, the Savage is a great gun, and I'm sure you'll love it. I had one that I used as a host for my .22 suppressor. Hate you. But I just sold it a few weeks back and replaced it with a quote-unquote compact model Ruger American rimfire. So, yeah, first off, Spencer, you got suppressors. Ugh. Got to come down and play with suppressors with you sometime. That'd be so much fun. He continues on, the Savage was great, but the Ruger has a trigger that, to me, seems just as good. It has a better bedding system, and it uses standard 10/22 magazines, including my Volkhorsten version for .22 shorts.
Interesting.
That's cool.
That is cool.
The barrel isn't quite as short as the Savage, but it still works fine with a can, and the adjustable stock is much better than the limb saver butt pad that I had to use on the Savage to get the right length of pull. I'm curious, Spencer, is your length of pull 87 inches? Because he's huge, right?
Yeah, Spencer's forearm is longer than my whole arm.
He's longer, yeah. So I don't know if Ruger is selling the American series in Canada, the Ruger Canadian, but they are worth checking out if they do. I think they have them up here.
So. Yeah, the Ruger Canadian, it comes with a bottle of maple syrup that actually functions as lubricant.
Secondly, Spencer continues on, kudos to Owen for the interesting segment on O2 absorbers. That was good information, especially about the way it will essentially vacuum seal the bag over time. I'd been holding for doing any kind of storage until I could get a vacuum sealer, but it sounds like I can go ahead with what I have right now. So that's cool. That's some good positive feedback for your segment there, Owen. And you said everybody would hate you. I'm lying.
Think we agreed, didn't we?
we may have. Third, Trevor's reviews on the SIG and FNS were great. I especially like the FNS because I just traded one for the Glock 19-sized gun a few months ago, and it's easily become my favorite polymer pistol.
See?
Yeah. Trevor mentioned how good the ergonomics of this gun are, but honestly, you really have to try it out to believe it. The only other guns I know that are this good are the CZ-75s. It was a good review, but he did leave out the unique checkering blocks that the gun uses, and the fact that there aren't any finger grooves on the front grip. The back of the gun is also scalloped to allow the web of your hand to get as high a grip as possible. And I did actually notice those checkering blocks because they're quite aggressive. They dig right into your skin, which is fantastic. And I love the fact they don't have finger grooves because my fingers don't fit in any grooves on any guns that I have that have finger grooves.
And the checkering is also where it should be and not where it doesn't need to be.
Yep. Yeah, they thought it out. They really did.
Yeah, they did. The beaver tail is great. You do you are able to get your hand up nice and high into the pistol. Nice low bore access. You shot it. I mean,
I
you
did.
Thought it was, yeah.
I thought it was great. Yep, it's really good. I would much prefer it in a 4-inch, but unfortunately, no freedom allowed up here in Canada. He continues on, I know my 4-inch version has almost no muzzle flip, and I can imagine the long slide version would be even better. FN also just announced the compact Glock 26-sized version of this at this year's SHOT Show. It looks like a great carry gun. The only negative I've found is the almost complete lack of aftermarket support. There are a few sights available, and I can get a threaded barrel for my 9mm suppressor, but that's about it. You're just rubbing it in now, aren't you? You're just rubbing it in.
Yeah, all I can get is a suppressor barrel.
Oh, it's terrible. Apex was going to make a trigger kit, but gave up when they saw the parts count involved, and Trevor can attest to that.
Sure can.
Luckily, he says, the trigger was pretty decent from the factory, and on mine, it broke in pretty quickly, even without disassembly. Well, that's my one hang-up with this gun so far. Every time I picked it up, I think I was complaining to Trevor about the trigger. I think he got sick of me saying it after a while.
Well, the trigger return spring is too weak. It doesn't really force your finger out there. And a couple of times while we were dry firing it, the trigger was sticking.
Yeah. And mind you, it was like minus 40 billion. But
this was at home in your living room.
Oh, this is at home. Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, that's true.
Well, I've been in Matthew's house, and it was probably half a billion at least.
Yeah.
But it hasn't done that since. Like I said, I removed all of the other trigger components that I hadn't polished. Last time I just did the disconnector or the sear and the connector, the sear and the striker, and this time I did the part with the firing pin block. And I did the part that
so it's a little bit better
that.
Now.
Yeah, and okay. It is a little bit better.
Well, bring it back when you come.
I will.
Beauty. I didn't figure you could leave the house without it. So
you got that right. Yeah. Yep.
And Trevor, Spencer continues on, you're lucky you missed out on buying the SD9VE. Being the trigger snob, connoisseur that you are, you would have hated it. I had one as a nightstand gun for about a year, and honestly, I've got staplers that have got better trigger pulls. Last but not least, I'm sure Filthy is a great guy, but at least the red shirts on Star Trek could hit what they were aiming at. Of course, that usually just made the target mad, prompting it to kill them in some gruesome and painful way, but at least they could shoot. those stormtroopers might as well just shout pew pew at whatever they're aiming at. They never actually seem to hit anything, and it would save on batteries for their lasers. Just saying. Long live and prosper, Spencer and Smyrna.
Isn't it live long and prosper?
What did I say? Long live?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably a little bit of dyslexia there.
A little bit.
Live long and prosper. So he's just digging it in a little bit deeper.
A little bit.
That's awesome. Thank you, Spencer. Good email. And hate you, just in case you forgot. Suppressor man. Grr.
When he shoots you, you won't even know about it.
I won't even know. I'll be dead before the sound even gets to me. I got a fake suppressor. I'm just saying. Yeah, it does nothing. It's terrible. It doesn't even look... Well, it looks pretty cool. Anyway. Owen.
It does look cool on your Beretta.
Yeah, it does. It looks so James Bond. I do that all the way around the house. Yep. You think I'm kidding?
No, I know you're not.
No, you're not.
Owen, put me out of my misery. From Charles here.
Okay. Charles says, fellas, in your listener feedback section, someone asked about the M855 green tip round. You all were partially correct. The BATFE are making an effort to ban all steel or alloy core rifle rounds that just happen to be fired from a pistol classified firearm. Where you got lost in the weeds, and we here in the land of God and country are up in arms about, is that the M855 is not classified as an armor piercing round, as it is constructed of a lead core mated with steel cone embraced within a copper jacket, giving it a penetrator classification. A huge difference in the world of law.
So this is something I didn't know. I thought they were steel core, but it's still a lead core, but just with like a steel jacket underneath the brass jacket or the copper jacket. And is that how you're understanding this description too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, that's not steel penetrator. Or that's not a penetrator. Yeah, armor piercing.
The M855 and the, okay, we got a series of numbers here, and the 7N6 5.45x39 are constructed differently, as the 7N6 does have a solid steel core, and the BAFTE has now found an obscure Russian handgun that fires the 7N6, and through regulatory authority was able to get this ammo banned. What they are trying to do is reclassify the M855 from penetrator, which is legal, to armor piercing, which is illegal, which they cannot do on their own and is not within their authority. Jerry Mikluck has an excellent YouTube video that explains this in absolute clarity. Just thought I would give a shout out in hopes to clear the mud, as I'm finding even within my own circle of gun nuts, they're not quite up on the nuances of this fight. I've been a fan of your podcast for some time now, since being pointed your direction by the gun dudes.
Woohoo! Yay!
Listen to you, because that would be the first referral we've ever got. No.
Yeah.
listen to you because of the incredible governmental red tape to possess and carry in your country, and it pumps me up to get out of my shell and get politically involved when some anti-gun politician think they are our betters. Keep up the good work, Charles, from Kansas, U.S. of A. P.S. Kansans are close to a permitless concealed carry as it goes through our legislative process. Man, how I love my state.
Must be nice. Yeah, Charles, don't let your country become Canada.
No, that'd be terrible.
Well, it's just the gun laws that suck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And socialism, and, you know, social health care, and, you know, our taxes are terrible, and the weather is not all that great, just saying. All right, well, if you'd like to send us an email, you can send us an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys, so send them in and become famous. Well, as famous as you can be, getting your email read on a internet podcast.
Getting your email poorly read.
Right, poorly read, yes. Doesn't matter who reads it anymore. It seems like we're all kind of leveling out. We're averaging to sort of a, you know, acceptable. We're all sort of adequate now, and that's about it.
Well, that's very Canadian, though.
Well, yes. Sorry you suck so bad, is what I'm trying to say.
We don't read as good as you write, is what I'm trying to say.
And that's entirely true. So we'll move on to some iTunes reviews. And you guys remember from last week, we had four of them, and I saved two for this week. So I've got two more to read here. The next one, left February 12th, is titled, It's Okay, I Guess. So yes, that's here we go. Here's what he says.
Okay. Huh? No, nothing. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. He says, "Nah, it's great. It's one of my favorite podcasts. I look forward to every episode. Great hosts, great topics, and lots of fun." And that was sent to us by Sergeant Ostro. So you had us on the ropes there for a second, Sarge, but woo.
You stole another podcast to review, didn't you?
I might have. Shh. It says the top gun dudes, right? That's who we are? Canadian gun dudes? I just put the Canadian in front of it. Kidding. All right, so this next one, sent February 13th by Dalton RCAF. He titles his, "Great Show." So I'm hoping this isn't another reversal. Because if it is, you know, last one was like, it's okay, but really it's good. This one's like, this is great, but really it sucks. So it's not, though. This is what he says. "So I missed getting my review in for this week's show, but I see you got one a few days ago, so you won't be sad. Oh, well. Slamfire Radio, what can I say? It's a great show hosted by three Canadian loons from New Brunswick, often losing track of what they're talking about and never remembering their lines or who's doing the intro. That's what makes it great. I often find myself with people looking at me funny as I'm laughing hysterically for no apparent reason to them when I'm listening with my headphones. Anywho, great show. I look forward to it each week. And to Matt, good luck if you're reading this. Take care, Dalton."
He must have thought he has you and I confused. Maybe, the good reader.
or maybe he just knew that we were just going to have a discussion about how poorly we all read email. I mean, that couldn't have worked out better, to be perfectly honest with you. All right. Well, if you'd like to leave us a review, please head over to iTunes. We're only accepting 5-star ratings at this time. So if you'd like to leave something less, you'll have to wait for an opening. send us a review and we'll read it. We really appreciate the funny ones, but we'll take them all. I guess we're moving into shout-outs then. Trevor?
To our buddy RJ, our training buddy. He's down in Florida right now on day 2 of Meg 40, the lucky guy. So,
nice.
Yeah, enjoy yourself, brother. And soak it all up. Enjoy. Have fun.
Cool.
Oh, and the next one to Sticks for the really cool little gift package he put together that he sent to you, Matthew, with your prize and stuff.
Right.
So he made a couple of paracord bracelets for the wife and I and threw in some really nifty stickers that I added to my ammo cabinet full of stickers.
Yeah, you almost got those the same time Brian got Brian.
It was getting close.
Sticks is going to be here soon. He could have just handed them to you himself.
Yeah. So excellent. I love my paracord bracelet. I've been wearing it nonstop since. And
they are very cool.
I haven't taken mine off since
mine doesn't fit, so.
Take it off in the shower. Let me guess, it's way too big for you?
Way too small.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm terrible at measuring. Maybe I sent him centimeters instead of inches. I don't know.
So you probably just put on some weight. Later,
maybe.
You
know? That's possible. Put on some weight. In my wrists, yes. So they did go to good use, though. They're going to my nephews, and my nephews are going to love them. So it'll work out. But, yeah, they are really cool. I do like them. So I have a shout-out here to Derek. Apparently, he sent presents for us, but Filthy has them. I think Filthy kept them for himself. I'm sure. I'm not sure what's going on there, but Filthy, apparently you owe us something. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm kidding. No, I'm not.
We want our
presence is what we're saying.
Oh, it's too bad we didn't get the name of the guy at your range that gave me that 6.5 Dutch or 6.5 by 53R.
His name's probably Luke.
Probably.
Or Mark.
Or Jean-Guy.
Jean-Guy. Probably something like that. And his last name is definitely Sear or Boudreau. Anyway. Also, last shout out here to the Russian. I'm not sure who you are. But the last couple of weeks, whenever I go in to check our stats, there are always Russian words that pop up as search words in our feed. And so I went and looked them up, and apparently the Russian translation is Drive Fire Radio. So, just wondering who you are.
Shout out to all the Russians listening.
Shout out to all the Russians listening.
So, maybe it's like the Russian NSA.
Maybe it is.
It's probably all this talk about not shopping at...
that's what it is.
I wonder.
And they're freaking out over there going, man, I'm a communist? If I'm not shopping at the Calgary Shooting Center?
Comrade, if I shop at Calgary Shooting Center, can we defect? You know?
Sorry, it's direct. Direct fire radio, not drive. Direct. So I don't know what slam and direct may mean the same thing in Russian. Not sure. But thank you for searching us out regardless. So anyway, that's our show for this week. Please be sure to check out the Crusader Podcast Network at crusaderpodcast.com. They've got all kinds of cool shows over there. Join both of our national firearms associations, the CSSA and the NFA. They both do good things for us. You know, there may be some turmoil right now, but things will come back on track, and they do good things for us. So you still need to join. You still need to be a member of both those organizations. They can't help you if you don't support them. So support them. Check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. And also, please, if you are so inclined, head on over to Facebook. Give us a like there. We're at 1,158 likes over there now and counting. So, yeah, check us out. So, that's the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next time.
So, if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now, go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over,
it's time to get a gun. Oh, and you were perhaps made fun of in your absence.
You may have been.
Again.
Perhaps.
It was definitely your fault this time.
Probably because I left.
I said, okay, guys, you ready to start? Trevor's like, yup, and you walked away.
Without telling us, which was the funniest.
So I was about to start, actually. I was like, I better check this one more time. Are we all good?
Be any different than normal.
Yeah. Another awkward intro.
Oh, and you're going last in the intro.
Okay.
All right.
All right. We good?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
Hello and welcome to
last apparently means something different when you talk. awesome.
entirely for the outtakes, Matt.
Oh, love it. Yeah, I got it written down as an outtake already. That's fantastic. All right. Here we go for realsies this time.
Sorry about the quality of the phone call. I thought I was calling into Bolivar's podcast, so sorry about that.
Oh, there's an outtake from Jeff. Awesome. Poor Oliver. Oh my god. That's awesome.